Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read is a nonfiction political expose by Jesse Ventura. Written with Dick Russell and built around 63 sets of government documents gathered from public records and Freedom of Information Act requests. Rather than telling a single chronological story, the book is organized by topic and uses primary source material to question official narratives about major American controversies. Its scope ranges from the JFK assassination and Iran-Contra to 9/11, corporate influence on elections, climate and environmental policy, drug policy, healthcare buses, homeland security, and government secrecy. Ventura's role is less that of a conventional scholar than a skeptical commentator who frames documents with pointed questions and populist suspicion of institutional power. The result is a hybrid of documentary archive and political argument aimed at readers interested in secrecy, accountability, and the gap between public statements and government behavior. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, primary source documents as the book's central method. The defining feature of the book is its reliance on original government documents rather than secondhand summaries or purely speculative claims. Ventura and Russell present material obtained through FOIA requests, public archives, and released records. Then use brief commentary to guide the reader through what the documents suggest. This method matters because it gives the book its rhetorical force. The authors are not asking readers to trust an expert system, but to look directly at the paper trail and decide what it implies. The documents are grouped by issue, which reinforces the impression that the same structural problems appear across many policy areas. At the same time, the format limits how much interpretation can be claimed with certainty. The book is strongest when it shows how fragments of official records raise questions that are difficult to dismiss, but it also depends on the reader accepting that documentation alone can expose patterns of secrecy and misconduct. In that sense, the book is as much about evidentiary framing as it is about the documents themselves. Secondly, JFK, 9/11, and the persistence of unresolved national trauma. A major thread in the book is Ventura's treatment of iconic American crises, such as the JFK assassination and 9/11, which he presents as events still surrounded by unresolved questions and institutional gaps. The title's reference to 1963 signals how strongly the JFK assassination shapes the book's worldview, even though the documents span many decades. Ventura uses these episodes to argue that official explanations often leave out inconvenient facts or fail to withstand scrutiny. The emphasis is not simply on one theory of each event, but on the broader claim that governments can preserve secrecy long after the public has been told, the matter isltold. This gives the book its historical tension, the events are familiar, but the documentary fragments make them appear unfinished. Readers who accept official accounts may find the approach accusatory, while readers already suspicious of public narratives may see the book as confirming long-held doubts. Either way, these cases function as organizing symbols for the larger argument that some national tragedies remain embedded in systems of concealment rather than transparency. Thirdly, government secrecy, intelligence agencies, and the idea of an invisible state. The book repeatedly returns to the idea that power in the United States operates through hidden networks that are not fully accountable to voters. Ventura is especially critical of intelligence agencies and national security institutions, portraying them as entities that often obscure rather than reveal the truth. This is where the book's political worldview becomes clearest. Secrecy is not treated as an occasional necessity, but as a defining feature of modern governance. Documents related to covert operations, extraordinary rendition, censorship, and wartime policy are used to support that claim. The book also references historical controversies, such as the post-war use of former Nazis by U.S. agencies, which reinforces Ventura's suspicion that strategic interests routinely override moral principles. The point is not just that governments lie, but that secrecy becomes self-perpetuating once institutions are built to justify it. By presenting these patterns across different eras, the book argues that the public is often seeing only a managed version of state activity, while the most consequential decisions remain hidden behind national security language. Fourthly, corporate influence, public welfare, and policy decisions shaped by hidden power. Another important dimension of the book is its criticism of private influence over public institutions, especially in elections, regulation, and environmental decision-making. Ventura presents corporate secrecy and political money as part of the same ecosystem of hidden power that drives government cover-ups. The documents and commentary connect this concern to issues such as campaign finance, oil spill response, environmental harm, and broader questions about who benefits when policy is written behind closed doors. This expands the book beyond classic conspiracy themes and into structural political critique. Instead of focusing only on dramatic covert operations, it suggests that ordinary governance can be distorted by less visible forms of influence. including industry pressure and elite coordination. That is one reason the book covers subjects like climate change and environmental damage, alongside espionage or assassination claims. The underlying argument is that public harm often comes from decisions protected by bureaucratic opacity and corporate access. Ventura's framing invites readers to see secrecy not as an exception to democracy, but as a tool that can protect economic and political advantage. Lastly, a populist challenge to official authority and elite expertise. The book's style and voice are central to its appeal. Ventura writes in a plain-spoken, distrustful manner that positions him as an ordinary citizen confronting institutions rather than as a detached analyst. That tone makes the book accessible to readers who feel alienated by expert language or mainstream political reassurance. It also gives the project a distinctive populist edge. The argument is not merely that bad things happened, but that the public has a right to distrust polished official explanations. The book therefore works as both a document collection and a political performance of skepticism. Its strengths are immediacy, readability, and the sense that the reader is being invited into an investigation rather than lectured from above. Its limitations are equally clear. The broad suspicion of authority can flatten differences between documented misconduct and more speculative theories. Still, the book stands out because it packages contentious historical material in a way that is direct, emotionally legible, and oriented toward civic distrust of unaccountable power. That combination explains its appeal within the conspiracy and anti-secrecy genre. In conclusion, 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read is best suited to readers interested in political secrecy, archival evidence, and the contested history of American state power. It will appeal most to people who already suspect that official explanations often conceal more than they reveal, as well as to readers who want to examine primary source material rather than rely on summary arguments. The practical value of the book is that it points readers toward documents and controversies they can investigate further on their own, making it less of a closed thesis than a springboard for inquiry. Its intellectual value lies in the way it connects disparate subjects such as JFK, 9/11, corporate influence, environmental policy, and intelligence operations into one overarching critique of hidden power. Compared with many books in the conspiracy genre, it stands out because it leans heavily on public records and documentary presentation instead of pure speculation. At the same time, its strong interpretive bias is part of its identity. The book is not neutral, but openly skeptical and politically charged. Readers who want a document-driven, populist challenge to government transparency will find it more distinctive than a conventional political history or a purely theoretical conspiracy book. If you would like to support Jesse Ventura, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.